Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, A New Beginning. Jesus commissioned his disciples to preach the gospel, cast out devils, and heal the sick. Now most Christians preach the gospel, and some may pray for the sick, but the subject of devils makes people uncomfortable. The reality is, once you have been born again and received forgiveness, there is still some spiritual dirt that needs to be removed from your life. In this message, Pastor John deals with the reality of evil spirits and how Jesus interacted with them. Seminary professors will tell you that Jesus was a child of his day and talked about devils because they were the imagination of ignorant people, and he just went along with what people believed. As you listen to the scriptural evidence, you will have to choose whether or not to accept the words of Jesus as truth, or side with the theological scholars who reject the Son of God as an ignoramus. This message is entitled, Are Evil Spirits for Real? Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on May 22nd, 2011. And we're going to be talking here today about a new beginning. A new beginning. And the topic today is this. Are evil spirits for real? Are evil spirits for real? Well, let's stand and let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now to be in coming today and look at the Word of God to find out the truth. And I ask you right now, Holy Spirit, that you not only anoint me, but anoint every person listening to my voice, that Father God, the truth shall come into our souls and spirits. And this I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Now this is what I wrote as a Christian. You have been forgiven, born again, and given eternal life in heaven. You might even have been baptized in water through immersion, but there is a nagging feeling that something is not right. You just can't put your finger on it. Could it be demons? Most Christians scoff at the idea, but there is ample proof in the New Testament that demons are for real. Turn me right now to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, as we start a systematic march through the New Testament. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. Have you picked it up in verse number 16? When the even was come, they brought unto him, Jesus, many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that he might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmity and bear our sicknesses. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. When I surrendered to preach in 1967, I realized that I needed some education. I needed some biblical education. And decided to go to seminary. And I remember when my pastor told me this, he said, when you come to the seminary, you're going to be given a lot of unbelief and false doctrine. He says, you need a degree, learn history, archaeology, learn the things, and when you are done with the seminary, take all your books and burn them, and then forget that you went there. When I went to seminary, I was about 27 years old, so I was old enough not to be shaken. And when it comes to demons, I had a professor get up, but he simply said this. You got to understand now, gentlemen, that Jesus was a child of his day. Jesus did not have revelation knowledge. He did not know any more than the rest of the people living around him. And people were superstitious. And Jesus was superstitious. And therefore, he just went along for a ride. Gentlemen, there are no demons. This was spoken in a Southern Baptist seminary between 1969 and 73 in Mill Valley, California. This was not one professor holding this. This was a whole bunch of them holding the same view. And they were men full of unbelief. I do not believe that Jesus was a child of his day. I believe he was God incarnated. I believe he's the Son of God, that the Holy Spirit was upon him, that he had knowledge. How in the world could he preach and teach like he did, as written in the four Gospels, if he was just an ordinary man? We do not know now in this chapter here if these demon-possessed people are saved or not. It doesn't say. But turn to Matthew chapter 15 right now. Matthew chapter 15. And I hope that you study this week and go through this yourself. In Matthew 15, verse number 21, we read this. Then Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and cried him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, you son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Have mercy on me, Lord, you son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered not a word. And the disciple came and besought him, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, this girl was vexed by a devil, a demon, evil spirits, same thing. Jesus spoke the word, the demon left, and the girl was healed. Turn to Matthew 17 now. There's Matthew chapter 17. And you pick it up in verse number 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic, mentally ill now, and sore vexed, for oft times he falls into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to your disciples. They could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Notice the next verse now. And Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciple to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily said to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, Remove hence to join a place. It shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. There are certain demons, devils, that you cannot cast out until you have prayer and fasting. I didn't say that. It's in the Bible. Let's move now to Mark chapter 1. The Gospel of Mark chapter 1. And we're going to read something interesting here from verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have you to do? What have we to do with you, you Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know you, who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold your peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commands even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Let me tell you a secret now about church. Satan and his demons, devils, do not go to the bars, the whorehouses. They already got those people. People that are demon possessed and demon oppressed. But you know where evil spirits go on Sundays? They go to church. They love to go to church. Matter of fact, they plan your service for them before you arrive. And when you wake up Sunday morning, they simply are meeting you. And they are trying to put depression on you. They're trying to derail you. Put all kind of thoughts into you. You don't feel good today or sick. I don't want to go to church or not. They try to massage you. If they lose you, this is okay. We get you on the way to church. Ungodly music. Fighting. You know, I'm going to be totally honest with you today. I want to be honest all the time, but I'm going to be really honest today. Every Sunday morning I pray this prayer. Dear God, I pray right now there'll be no fighting, cussing, screaming, and hollering in the cars as people are driving into church. Let there be praise and worship. There's a number of people driving into church, and they fight, they scream, they swear, they cuss. It's horrible. And this is not only this church, this is every church. And when they arrive, you know how it goes. Holy smile, you know, phony smile. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How are you? Now, so the demons have prepared you well. A lot of people then come in. And then the spirit of criticism comes in. Critical spirits. You know, look at that person. He's not dressed right. Well, he's overdressed. Look at the hairdo. I don't like the perfume. I don't like the way the cologne he's wearing and so on. Critical spirits. We're sitting and waiting in there, and the demon says, "Good, keep it up." So now you are primed to worship. The music strikes up. And you are like, "Hum, hum." And demons will steal your worship time. They steal it. And after the worship is over, they whisper, you know, "Don't put too much in the offering plate. You know, they don't need that much money." I heard this joke one time. There's a deacon, I prayed, "Dear God, keep the pastor humble, and we will keep him poor." And it's a tragedy, but it's truth. And then the sermon comes, and this is when the sleeping demons come in. "Ooh, you are so tired today. Sand in your eyes. You just can't stay awake." Now, I have seen sleepy people in church. And the moment we sing the last song and say amen, they wake up and they go, hup, 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 you know, they're totally awake. And the demon says, "Now go home. We did our job." Church is a battlefield. Now, I wish that the demons would manifest, that if you come in with a lousy attitude, that, you know, the demons will begin to manifest in you so we can throw the demons out. It does not always work that way. Sometimes it does. Now turn to Mark chapter 5. So, I'm saying this is a pastor going to church for me Sunday morning or first in our Bible study. It's like go fishing. You know, when you go fishing, you never know what you're going to get. You might get a lot of fish, you might not get anything. And every Sunday when I drive in, I said, "Lord, what are you going to do today? How many fish is going to show up today?" And sometimes we have a lot of fish, and sometimes we have sparsely with fish. But I thank God for every fish that shows up. God bless your little souls. Now turn to Mark chapter 5. We've got to pick it up in verse number 1. Interesting passage here. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, while he was dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him." Notice now, demons have to worship. "And cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God that you torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is your name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, we are many. Legion, 7,000 evil spirits." Normally, when we cast out demons in deliverance, people have anywhere from 5 to 15,000 demons living in them. It's an enormous amount of people, of demons. "And he besought them much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought them, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with a devil and had a legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And he saw it, told them how it befell him, and was possessed with a devil, and also concerning the swine. They begin to pray to him to depart out of the coast. They ask Jesus to leave. And Jesus left. Why did the demons want to get into the swine? Well, if you've never been in a deliverance, if you've never been cast out demons, you might understand this. But you see, evil spirits have no physical bodies. And they can float in the air, but they cannot express themselves. They need a physical body. And when they get a physical body, they are using that body to do things that gives them pleasure. And it costs the person because they're abusing his body. Years ago, we went to Stockton to a meeting with an evangelist. About 1,000 people in the room. And he was going to cast out demons on a stage, which I don't do, unless I have to. And we were just sitting there, and, you know, people dressed, you know, nice suits and clothing and so on. And after about 10 minutes, I begin to hear people vomit around me. And they did, you know, on the floor. And I thought, you know, what happened? The evangelist at that time, when he heard that, he simply says, well, he said, you're sinners, you're rotten sinners. I throw the demons out and you sinners are getting them. They are just coming into your bodies now. You little rascals, come on up here and get saved. What he did was he threw demons out. And when demons are thrown out, they travel to find a new body. In this case, notice now the demons said, we don't want to leave this area. So they besought Jesus, how about the swine over here? And as soon as they got into the swine, they had the swine commit suicide. And when they died, the demons got out and just took off to find some new people. Do you realize when somebody dies in your family, that the spirits of infirmity, other demons are getting out? And demons like to stay in the bloodline. They go in families, generation to generation to generation. When somebody dies in your family, you want to make sure that you pray that none of the demons in that relative came to you. Turn to Luke 8 now. It's the Gospel of Luke chapter 8. Now some of you might say, you know, where can I read more about this? How can I do this? I don't know if Joe can get this up or not, but we have a book called Christian Dynamics, Course 1. More than 370 pages. And in my book, Christian Dynamics, Course 1, I outline in detail about demonology, how to get rid of them, and how to stay clean of them. If you haven't got that book, I urge you to get that book. It will do you a lot of good. Luke chapter 8, if you pick it up in verse number 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits. Let me read that. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chus, or Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. We do know this, that on the day of Pentecost, we had about 38 women present. And these women, they cooked, they cleaned their clothing. Jesus did not travel all by himself. He had an entourage around him of people supporting him. Now, these women here, the Bible says, had devils. And they had them cast out. They were free, healed, and they followed Jesus. Amazing. Then turn to Luke chapter 13. That's Luke, the 13th chapter. And you pick it up in verse number 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Let me read it again. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord answered and said, "You hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass for the stall, lead them away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Sickness is not from God. Sickness is from the devil. And when you and I are afflicted by sickness or infirmities, we are bound by spirits. These are spirits that are binding us. But you know, very few churches teach this. So therefore we don't pray for the sick. We don't cast the demons out. And people keep their infirmities. On page 2 of the outline, I said this now. Jesus commissioned his disciples. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. There's Matthew, the 10th chapter. If you pick it up in verse number 1. And when he, Jesus, had called to him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. We have another 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. In my family, on my dad's side, we had eczema. Notice I said had. And the eczema was very strange. It showed up on the fingers. And there would be sores, be watering. And they would come and go. And I saw my dad over the years. He had those. He would put salve on and at night and put bandage on, you know. So he would do it. And I saw my aunts and uncles had the same thing. And then one day, when I was in my 30s, I realized I got the same stuff my dad got. And I began to see it watering. And I said, "No way. In the name of Jesus, you foul spirits, get out of me." And I cursed the eczema. Never had it again. Never will have it again. I'm not going to dwell too much. Christian Dynamics, course number 1. I've written much stuff down. Read it. Verses 5 and 8 now of this chapter. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, with any city of Samaritans, and do not. But go ye rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely received, freely give. Is that what you read in your Bible? Is that in your Bible? Someone said it's in his Bible. Rest of you awake? How many fingers? Oh, five, huh? Okay. Turn out to Luke chapter 9. I hope I'm not boring you today. Luke chapter 9. In the name of Jesus, I command every sleeping demon, get out of here. And every demon of destruction, go. And confusion, get out of here. In the name of Jesus. Gospel of Luke chapter 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Notice now. He gave them authority and power over all devils. If there were no devils, why have authority? And to cure diseases. Then drop down to chapter 10. That's chapter 10 of Luke. After these things, the Lord appointed all the 70 also. And he sent them two and two before his face at every city and place where he himself would come. Therefore said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And then in verse 9 you read this. And healed the sick that are therein, and said to them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Did Jesus say that? My Bible says so. Now drop down to verse number 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. When my wife and I came to Christ in 1965, 6 months later in 66, we joined a Southern Baptist church. And we were baptized in water by immersion not too far after. And in this church, we learned about salvation. We learned about holiness. We learned about the Bible, the King James Bible. And we visited, we prayed for people to get saved. But there was no healing, no casting out of demons, no baptism of the Spirit, no praying in tongues, no prophecy, nothing. And I asked one day the pastor, I was reading the book of Acts, and I said, now, why don't we have this? And he said, well, Brother John, we are Baptists. I said, okay. We are Baptists. We don't believe that. But it's in the Bible. Brother John, you got to understand that when the Apostle John left to go to be with Jesus, he had a suitcase. He stuck the Holy Ghost in there. He took him with him. And you know, today, he said, they said, you don't need the Holy Ghost because we got the Bible. Have you ever tried to cast out demons by throwing a Bible at them? Have you ever tried to heal somebody, you know, by just taking and whipping them with a Bible? Get healed in the name of Jesus, the Bible. It doesn't work that way. And eventually I learned, did you know, most churches only preach a portion of the Bible. A portion. It would be like if I would be a car salesman. And I would have a sign on a car lot. Beautiful cars. And then I would sell horses on the other side and say, had the finest horses in town. And you would come in and say, now what, if I buy a car, why do I need a horse? Well, you need to hook up the horse to the car so the horse can pull the car. Really? I thought there was an engine in there. Oh, no, we got, gasoline shortages right now, oil crisis and that, You don't turn your engine on anymore. We used to do that, but we don't do it anymore. Here's the horses. You can have two or three horses in front, and you might be able to go 15 miles an hour. You just can't back up. Would you buy a car like that? Would you go for that? That's what they told you when you came to church. Sit down, shut up, and do nothing. Now, what are you going to do about things? Look what Jesus said now to the others. And I read here again, I want to read again verse 17. And the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Wow, look at that scripture. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That'd be nice if that works, right? Works in my life. Can work in your life too. Many of you it works. And then Jesus said, notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You don't go around and rejoice, I can cast out demons. You rejoice because you're saved and you cast out demons when need be. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things for the wise and the prudent, have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Babes. You know, when I get a Jehovah's Witness come to my door, knock on the door, and I simply tell them this, well, let me tell you, you don't have nothing to offer me. But here's what I got. I'm saved, baptized in water, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven, shouting victory, casting out demons, healing the sick. What do you got to offer me? They got nothing. Same with the Mormons. Same with the Moonies. Or the Boonies, whatever they are called. They got nothing to offer except slavery. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. The next question on the outline is this now. How long was this power available? How long? Was this power only available until Jesus died on the cross? That's what most pastors say, and I already told you about that. But let's turn it to Matthew chapter 28 and settle this once and for all. That's Matthew chapter 28. You know, when we were, as a young evangelist, I didn't know a whole lot, but I know this. I knew this, that God was real. We came to Finland in 1971, just a short visit. And we had been invited by family, and the man there that we invited to had been a pastor. He had been a congressman in the Finnish parliament, and he had a heart disease. He was probably about 50 years old, and he was waiting to die. He was simply sick. And his niece had asked if we go and pray for him. So we met this man, And I simply felt, you know, well, we're going to pray for him. So we just enjoy praying. We throw the demons out, prayed for healing. And you know what happened? I didn't feel a thing. We didn't see nothing. But a few weeks later, I heard this. The man was rejoicing. His heart was totally healed. He went back to work and back to preaching again the gospel. You see, Satan will intimidate us. But look now in Matthew chapter 28. And I want to read from verse 16. Follow now closely. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I want you to read it again. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. Underline that verse if you haven't done it. Teaching them to observe all things. Whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus said, the power is going to stay with you. I'm going to give you a bonus scripture from the book of Revelation chapter 1. That's Revelation, the first chapter. And I want you to see my Jesus. Have you picked it up in verse 13? And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes was a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as did they burn in a furnace. His voice was the sound of many waters. And he had on his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp threaded sword. And his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Jesus have the keys. He is supreme. Now, if you want to find out a miracle, I'm going to tell you about a miracle that took place about 25 years ago, maybe 30 years ago. Reggie Shin had taken ill. And my good friend, Pastor Gordon Ginn, called me up and said that Reggie is on his deathbed. He's comatose. He's in the hospital. He's thrashing. They had gotten tied down to the bed because he's thrashing. And he got some kind of a virus. And they don't think he's going to make it. He was out of it. He said, let's pray. So he and I prayed. And then Gordon went down to the hospital. And the doctors had told the family that if Reggie comes back, his brain most likely would be cooked, gone. He would not be able to function. He'd be a vegetable. But Gordon Ginn went in there and prayed for him and left. And Jesus came in that room, raised Reggie up, and healed him. Restored his mind, his thinking. And he went back to work. And if you would like to meet someone today that had a miracle, he's here in the service today, you can shake hands with him and say, so God healed you. Now, Reggie was so out of it, he was in a coma. He could not even pray for himself. But you see, God had people to pray, and then Jesus came in. And turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We have more miracles in this congregation, but I'm just going to mention one to you, because that was a mighty miracle. Let me read this as I do it right. This is the conclusion there. The same devils that lived on the earth at the time of Christ are still on the earth. They have not gone anyplace. People are still possessed or oppressed by devils. Nothing has changed. The same afflictions that troubled the people in the first century are hurting people today. Jesus had one cure. Cast the devils out. This is the same cure we must apply in the 21st century. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you want to know what Jesus is doing today, read what he did yesterday. He's doing that today. He will do that tomorrow. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. To you that are watching us, you that inherit the congregation, I want to challenge you today. Now, you can live a mediocre life. You're saved, safe, walking with God, and simply nursing along your ailments. Or you can simply say, I want to get out of this abnormal life. I want to live a normal life. I want to have the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to be able to cast out demons. I want to be able to heal the sick. I want to be able to open up the blind's eyes, to raise the dead. I want to be able to do that. You can. You know what it would take? Read the word and then simply say, I believe. I believe. Help my unbelief. And then step out and start living for the Lord. Next week, we're going to talk about how to cast out the demons. Today, we learned about that they are there. Next week, you're going to learn how to throw them out. I added something to my sermon here today. God has not necessarily called you to be successful, but he's called you to be faithful. God is not necessarily called to be successful. He didn't call you to be successful. He called you to be faithful. And when you are faithful, you will be successful because you will have his success. So if you come now to the invitation, and some of you must say, well, what is an invitation? Well, let me try to explain that to you because sometimes I feel you don't know. I am a salesman. I am selling Jesus Christ. I'm selling the Holy Ghost. I'm selling the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The price is free. Jesus paid for it on the cross. But I'm a salesman. I have given now you a sales pitch for about an hour. I have now been pitching Jesus Christ for an hour and telling him how great he is, how marvelous he is, what he has done, what he will do. And now I'm trying to close the sale and saying this, would you like to have this? And this is where most people pack away the Bibles. They go, oh, okay, it's not done. What will we have for lunch today? You know what? You missed the boat. You missed everything. The invitation is for you to respond and say in the name of Jesus, this is what I want. Some of you already have it. Some of you don't have it. Some of you might not even be saved. This is the time for you to say, I want to be saved. I want to repent of my sins. I want to ask Jesus to come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. I want to change my lifestyle. I want to be born again, and He will save you. Now, if I've done a lousy job, no one will be buying what I'm offering today. Let's stand and pray and see what kind of a job I did today. My Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now for your Holy Spirit. And Father God, I think about the people watching us. Some, Father God, are just brand new babes in Christ. Some have been Christian for many years. Many of them, Father God, not victorious, but are defeated. And I pray, Lord, that Father God, they will do something about it. They will simply say, today, I'm going to surrender. Today, I'm going to ask for this. I want to be prayed for. I want to be anointed. I want victory. And I thank you. And Father God, touch the congregation here today. Those that are sick and afflicted. Father God, break the power of Satan. And help them, Father God, to go up to the elders and the deacons and to say, anoint me with oil. Pray for me. I want that power. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The altars are open. If you're watching us right now, you say, well, what can I do? You just pray where you are. Then you call us, email us. I got counselors. I got people I want to... just to love to minister to you. So you come that way. But I'm praying right now. God can touch you right now where you are. Just simply say in the name of Jesus, I'm going to have the faith and I'm going to believe in Jesus' name. If you are here today, you need a healing. You need a touch of God. Use it. The altars are open. You come.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious, I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the second part in the series, A New Beginning, and was entitled, Are Evil Spirits for Real? Jesus commissioned his disciples to cast out devils, but seminary professors would have you believe that Jesus talked about devils because they were the imagination of ignorant people, and he just went along with what people believed. The truth is that the same devils that lived at the time of Christ are still on the earth. Nothing has changed as people are still possessed or oppressed by devils, and the same afflictions that troubled the people in the first century are still hurting people today. Jesus had one cure, cast the devils out. This teaching has been passed on by each generation, and now you have heard it as well. What will you do with the information? Will you accept the words of Jesus as truth? Or side with the theological scholars who reject the Son of God as an ignoramus? This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1291. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.